Welcome back to another episode of Online with USU. I'm Dan.
And I'm Jessica.
And today we're talking about working with your professors at a distance, meaning contacting them, emailing, phone, Zoom, those sorts of things. What do you do in these situations? So, Jessica, how do we start with this?
Well, this will be the answer to probably every question that you ever have about your class or your professors. Look in the syllabus.
So you're saying that if you've got a question about your class or about what's going on, they should check the syllabus first before they do anything else?
Yes. I was astounded my last year of classes how many times professors would say, "Do not ask me, look in the syllabus first, and then ask me."
When I taught college success skills, I actually had a file that was copied and pasted that just had the phrase, "The answer's in your syllabus," or something like that. And I just copy and paste that into about 80% of the questions I got for the first half of the semester.
Yes, professors are busy people and they want to help their students. But when they're bogged down with questions of, what are we doing this week? What's this about? Like,
do you take makeup work?
Yeah, it's like, everything is in the syllabus. That's why there's a syllabus. So when you're constantly asking professors questions that you could easily find the answer to yourself, they're probably not going to be as happy.
It gets your relationship off on the wrong foot. Let's face it there.
But when the time comes where your question isn't answered in the syllabus, whether it be about a specific topic you guys studied in a course or something that isn't mentioned in the syllabus regarding, you know, late work or
something specific that comes up.
Yeah, or like if you have a special circumstance where you might need accommodation, this is a great time to reach out to your professors. You can reach out to professors in a number of ways as an online student. Most professors have office hours that would be listed in the syllabus where you can call in and ask them questions about whatever it is. You can also send them an email. An email is probably best if it's something that might require some looking into on the professor's part, like accommodation. But having said that, we have to be considerate of professors' time. Some professors, I shouldn't say most, include their personal phone number of a sort on their syllabus, and they're happy if students reach out. However, if you have a question about something and it's 2 a.m., that is probably not the time to give your professor a call being like, "Hey, I don't get this. What do I not understand?"
My grandfather was a professor here at Utah State back in the day, and my dad loves to tell the story about how at his house, nobody answered the phone after 8 o'clock because the phone number was listed, you know, Dr. Allred was listed in the phone book, and so students would find out his personal phone number and would call it. And anybody calling after 8 o'clock, any student calling after 8 o'clock, just, it was usually something that grandfather was like, "No, talk to me in class about this," or, you know, it was something unnecessary to do. The fun thing was my mom's father was also a doctor, but a medical doctor. So the phone rang, you answered it. So they had an interesting situation when they first got married where the phone rang, dad didn't answer it, mom asked who called, and dad was surprised that mom was so concerned that he did not answer the phone. Because he grew up never answering the phone after 8, and she grew up answering the phone at all hours of the night.
That's hilarious.
So it is very important to keep professors that give their personal phone number, it really is an extension of goodwill. And a lot of professors do this for texting or for calling, but you don't want to run that goodwill out. You want to make sure you're considerate and kind of their time, of their personal time.
Exactly. And going along with that, if there is something that you know is coming up and you wait until like the last possible second and then you ask your professor, they're probably also not going to be happy about that.
Kind of like my question when I asked my professor, "What am I going to do with this? Well, how far are you on it?" "Well, I haven't started yet." "Well, you're in deep yogurt." You know, that was the wrong time for me to ask about that project.
Yes. The time to contact your professors is immediately when you are aware of a situation that you need clarification. You should not wait until the last second, because professors, if it's the night before a big project like Dan, they're probably not going to help you.
They're not going to be able to help you as much. Most professors are more than willing to help a student, but they have to be able to justify their actions to their dean or their department head or whoever. And so if you don't give them any time to do anything, they They can't. Their options are much more limited. I mean, and so I think some prime examples of when this might be, if you've got a medical procedure, let them know as soon as you know when that procedure is scheduled. If you're going to be out of town for work or for family reasons, let them know and start, ask then, how can I make sure that I stay up on my coursework or, those sorts of things. For people in the military, if they know they're going to be on maneuvers and they've got a test that week, they need to let their professor know as soon as they know that there's a conflict. You don't want to just put it off or worse, put it off until after the fact. After the fact is, there's little to nothing they can do at that point for the vast majority of situations.
And it all will fall on you.
Yeah.
You're only hurting yourself.
Yeah.
A good time frame, I think, to work with professors is 72 hours. I think it's important to follow up with professors or anyone that you send any communication with. However, if you send a professor an email about a question in preparation for a test, assuming you are being prepared and proactive and looking for an answer, you can email a professor, but you probably should not expect a response in 5 minutes. Some professors are great at that when if they're on campus, they're already working. But however, if it's like 11 at night, I don't think you should expect a response.
Or even if it's during the day, they might be in class. They might be teaching, somewhere else. And so most professors are more than happy to help students, but they want 72 hours before you email them for the second time saying, hey, did you get my first message? Right. It's good to double check with a professor to make sure they got your message, but give them at least 3 days before you do that. One of the biggest things when it comes to contacting with professors is what you call them. And I told you this story. I won't get into the whole story, but I told you the story of a prospective student I was talking with that was asking about a class taught by a professor that insisted on being called doctor.
Wait, you weren't a student as well?
No. So I was an advisor.
I understood you were also a student and this was like someone you knew. Oh, this changes everything.
I was an advisor working with a student. Like, we were looking at building classes and I said, okay, well, you can try to get into this class, but you'll need to go talk to Dr. So-and-so. And as I said, she insisted on being called doctor. She legitimately so, but that was kind of her thing. And this student was like, oh yeah, I can talk to that chick. And I immediately cringed and I said, I would love to see you call her that to her face.
Was this in person?
It wasn't. He and I were in person. We were sitting across the desk from each other. And he said, that's funny. You're not the first person to tell me that. And I said, because you sound like a punk. You sound like a punk in junior high. And I kind of gave him I didn't necessarily chew him out, but I kind of explained that the way he was talking about this professor was rather immature and wouldn't get him very far
in life. Not respectful in any way.
Yeah. But, that begs the question, though, because when you don't know, if you've never talked to this professor before and they haven't seemed to have made it clear how they prefer to be addressed, what do you do? And my default is I always recommend, always call them professor last name, because that's 100% accurate. It's respectful. And if they do prefer something else, they will let you know what that is. Usually, if it's via email and the tail, so on and so forth. But don't just assume. One of my professors was a international business consultant on top of being a professor. She was also a consultant for the Department of Defense. And she received an email from one of the clubs that she was over. And the club president addressed her by the diminutive form of her first name. And being a professional business consultant, she was like this, she wanted to make sure that he understood that that's not what you're supposed to do in a more professional setting. So she actually signed her name at the end of the email as professor, doctor, full name type of thing. But other professors may go by their first name.
I had a lot of professors that it seemed like they went by their first name. People called them by their first name. I always felt weird doing that because I'm like, you're like someone
too,
like,
yeah,
you're like an authoritative figure. I feel weird just calling you Ed. It was so weird.
Yeah. or Jamie. One of my favorite professors, yeah. Dr. Jamie Sanders, is here on campus still, and he teaches classes. I believe he teaches online classes as well. He always liked to go by Jamie, and I was like, I don't think I can do that, Dr. Sanders. even when I was working for him, it still irked me. But you should still, you should address it. If they say, call me so-and-so, call them so-and-so. It's their personal preference, the same way that you'd want someone to call you.
going along with calling professors by their preferred title, I think, is being respectful in how you communicate with them via email and over the phone. When I had to schedule a meeting with a professor once to talk about a project that I wanted to do for another class, I reached out saying, hey, I want to run this by you. These are the times I'm available. You know, does this work for you? And when we actually did meet, he was like, thank you so much for, you know, giving me times. Because he's like, the amount of emails I get from students asking, when are you available? He's like, it's just not helpful for me. Because professors are so busy, they have classes. They just have a lot of times that they need things they need to consider.
It makes sense to ask, you know, when are you available? Because it is kind of being courteous, meaning, you know, are you available? But at the same time, that means that they have to then think through their whole schedule and think through, okay, when am I available? So if you give them, I can meet at this time, or this time, which one works best for you? They can quickly go, 1, 2, 3, this one works, you know, type of thing.
Yeah, exactly. And it was great. And then, you know, if you're an online student, you may not be near campus, you may not be meeting in person, but it's the same for if you're asking to meet.
If you're setting up a phone call or a Zoom call.
Yeah, exactly. Same principle applies. You want to be considerate of their time, but you also want to be like, plus it just kind of cuts out some emails, some back and forth.
And this is one of my biggest things. My daughter says that I answer questions for a living. So I get lots of emails. I answer lots of phone calls from prospective and current students. And the ones that drive me absolutely batty, the emails that drive me absolutely batty, are the ones that are so open-ended and so just vague. I won't get into the pet peeve of I have a question and then they never actually ask a question. You know, it's just a bunch of statements. That's a petty thing on my part. But I think my favorite example of this was I had a student that emailed me. They filled out the form online and their comment was, "What program would be a good fit for me?" And my response, my initial response was, I don't know. I've only met 7 or 8 words of you. I have no clue who you are from Adam. And you got to give me more to work with. And the same thing is true when working with professors. And as an advisor, this was true as well. Students would say, you know, what classes should I register for? And that, you know, or what program should I go into? And that those sorts of questions cause so much stress because it's like, well, there's all of these things to consider. I need more information from you to really be able to answer this question effectively. Yeah, I can give you some kind of answer, but it's going to take me a while to write it to try to cover all of the bases. And it's not pleasant, and we're still going to end up chatting more about this. So, you know, most of those times when I get those emails, I respond with additional questions, be like, well, tell me this, 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 and this, and then I can answer your question. So the more concise and the more specific you can be in your communication, if you have a question about a concept, be as specific as you can about that question. You know, if it's a something about the textbook, on page such and such, I was a little confused by this. Does this relate to this, or does it relate to this, or is it something else? If you do more front-end work on your email and your communication, they will get back to you that much faster.
I think something to keep in mind is whatever you're going to ask your professor, you should ask yourself, can this be an email, or is this something that needs to be a phone call, or I guess a Zoom call maybe if your professors are open to that? Because sometimes when it is a lot, like with an advisor, I would say it's almost always better to be in person or over the phone because you
can have live interaction.
It's a lot faster and you can work through things way quicker and with more efficiency and comprehension, I guess.
The more dynamic your situation, or the more dynamic your question, the more it should be done face-to-face or live, you know, over the phone or over Zoom. And there have been times where I've received emails from a student and I called them in response, you know, try to shorten things. So definitely, if this is like a one-time off thing, emails are fantastic. If you are suspecting there's going to be multiple stages to this, then, you know, it may be better to set up an appointment. And that may be something you can ask. You can be like, okay, I have this question. Can you answer this via email, or should I set up an appointment? If so, I'm available at these times, you know, type of thing. That'd be a great way of addressing that. Well, that's it for this episode. We hope this information has been useful, and we will see you next week online.
Bye.